If you want to turn over with me to Galatians chapter 3, I think we wrapped up chapter 2 for the most part, and we are on Galatians chapter 3. And as we go through the book of Galatians, the first two chapters are pretty personal. It's where Paul and Peter get together and have a discussion of the differences and, Paul's gospel versus Peter's gospel and the uncircumcision versus the circumcision. And in chapter 3, I even though we've been in doctrine, I think he continues in doctrine. You know, it was personal in chapter 1 and 2, and then he continues on through a doctrinal message. There's three or four different parts to Galatians chapter 3, and he begins with the argument from receiving the Spirit. And then 6 through 9, it's the argument from Abraham's justification by faith. And then 10 through 14 is the argument from the law bringing a curse. 15 through 18 is the argument from the unchangeable nature of a covenant. And then 19 and 20 goes on from the purpose of the law. When the Apostle Paul begins Galatians chapter 3, I almost look at it as like an interrogation. It's question after question after question. And I think it's there to make them think. It's there to make us think. It's there to make the Galatians think. And let's begin with verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Question 1. This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Question 2. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? His overall thing here is saying, okay, did you receive it by the law, or was it done by faith? Throughout Scripture and throughout each and every dispensation, it was always by faith. Yes, there was things that was added to it. There was things that they had to do a part of it. But it was faith plus something. And today it's faith plus nothing. And he says, is it by the works of the law? Or was it by the hearing of faith? In verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians. I'm not sure, but to me that's not a great word. He's very disappointed in the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. He does it again in verse 3. Oh, ye so foolish. You know, and I don't think he's calling him an idiot. I don't think he's calling him stupid. I don't think he's saying, oh, you know. The wise can still be called foolish. It says in Proverbs that the fool says in their heart, there is no God. So again, but he's calling them foolish. You can even see in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. There's another good one for that. Look at Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They were foolish. The Apostle Paul started this church at Galatians. He started it. He went to him and said, hey, this is the message. It's the cross crucified. It's Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then a little while later, they go back to the law. They go back to what we are not to do. They go back to legalism. The Jews knew it. The Galatians knew what was supposed to happen. They knew what the Apostle Paul taught them. And they get stuck going back to the law. Even Galatians chapter 1 there. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. The Apostle Paul taught them the grace of Christ. He taught them the age of grace. He taught them the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they went back. He even repeated himself, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You cannot mix grace and law. It's like mixing oil and water. It does not go together. He tells them, oh, foolish Galatians. You know, in Galatians 5:3, it says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you begin to try to fulfill any portion of the law, you are in debt to the entire thing. And that's why we went through dispensation after dispensation. Probably a year ago, we went through them all. In each and every dispensation, man failed. If man on their own could have fulfilled the word of God and earned their salvation, Jesus Christ would have never had to come. It says that in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He had the dispensation of innocence. He had the dispensation of conscience, promise, law, human government. And finally, he said, it's the only way. Jesus Christ had to come and pay the ultimate sacrifice. And anytime we add to that, anytime we say it's yes, many churches, many people say, yes, it's all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they love to throw a but in there. You're taking away from the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're taking away from the cross of Calvary. You're taking away from what he has done for you. Don't add anything to it. Jesus Christ did it all. He paid for it all. It's complete. It's finished. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus Christ has done all the work. He has paid the entire price. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He has already completed it. He has reconciled the entire world. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. I do not believe in universal salvation or that all of the world will be saved. But I do believe in universal reconciliation. And all that means is that Jesus Christ has done his part for the entire world. It is complete. It is paid for. Whether you're an unbeliever, whether you're a believer, your sins are paid for. The only part you're missing is the faith of Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. You know, the faith of Jesus Christ, putting our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's already reconciled the world to himself. That is not my words. That's what this says. Jesus Christ hath reconciled the world unto himself. And anytime we say, well, that's partially true, but you have to do this. We're taking away from Scripture. We're taking away from the Word of God. As long as you give, no, we're already blessed beyond all spiritual blessings. We already have all. We're seated in the heavenlies. It's complete. It's done. And that's why the Apostle Paul was so disappointed. Oh, foolish Galatians. He goes on there to say, who hath bewitched you? That's an interesting word. He hath bewitched you. You know, he tried to reason with them. You know, that word bewitch and befool, maybe through false representation. False prophets. That word bewitched is to be fascinated or charmed. There's a lot of people in the world that can charm us, that can trick us. My 4-year-old's new game, we play memory every time. And like I try to help her out and give her 2 cards and she gets a match. She's all excited. And she's like, hey, pick those 2. And I flip them over. Ha ha, I tricked you. She bewitched me. She tricked me into picking the wrong cards. My 4-year-old's outsmarting me. That's what they did. They were tricked. They were confused. They were, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you. And we got to be careful with that today. The Apostle Paul talks about that in many different passages. Jump to 1 Timothy. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Starting with verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We don't see any of that going on today, right? We don't have any of that issue. I mean, I don't even have to explain that. This is what we're talking about. Don't let the world bewitch us today. Look at 2 Timothy 4. Again, one book over, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I never want to get up here and tell stories and make you feel good. And I want to read the Word of God. If I could get up here for 30 minutes and just read the Word of God, I would do it. I don't know how many people would stay for it, but the Word of God is more important than what I say. The Word of God is the truth. Many times in life, there's something that I'm not preaching perfectly accurate with the Word of God, and I'm sorry for that. I don't know what that is, but I pray every Sunday to bring the truth known. But again, we're out there in the world. We want itching ears. We want to feel good. We want to have fables. We want to have stories. But that's Satan's way to trick us, to bewitch us, to confuse us. And it's just it's disappointing and it's sad. He goes on here in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth. Again, we talk time and time again, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God. You know, you can see in Galatians 2:5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He told them in Galatians chapter 2, I'm sure they didn't have like this, but the Galatians were reading through, and he told them right there, here's the truth of the gospel. I want it to continue with you. And a couple paragraphs later, he's like, you fools. It's just mind-boggling to me. But we're no different than they were back then. Truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. We have to walk according to the truth of the gospel. Not what I say, not what a TV pastor says, not what the... We have to go back to the Word of God. That's why it's so, so crucial. Look at Romans 16 as another good one. Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. We've talked about that time and time again. In the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That obedience, that truth of the gospel, the Word of God is true. We have to preach Paul's gospel, and that's what chapter 1 and 2 was about. Peter and Paul had their discussion, they had their debate. Paul said, I'll go to the circumcision, or Peter said, I'll go to the circumcision, you go to the uncircumcision, and they split and went their ways. The nation of Israel was for Peter and the 12. And the Apostle Paul was to the Gentiles, the body of Christ. Two different messages, two different programs, two different dispensations. It's the only way for the Word of God to make sense. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You know, I doubt that they were there at the crucifixion. But there was enough knowledge, there was enough truth, there was enough, it's no different than us. You know, Hebrews 11:1, everybody knows it, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We all know that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. We all know that God is there because of creation, because of what He's done around us. And the Galatians knew. They heard, they saw, they've seen. Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. They knew it. And he calls them all foolish. Because their goal is to run back to the law. Run back to what they were finally broken free of. Finally free of the law. No longer under bondage. And they run back to it. Verse 2 and 3. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So many people think they can do it in and of themselves. I can be made perfect by the flesh. I can be made perfect by what I do. I can be made perfect in and of myself. And that's what he's saying. Was it by the Spirit? Is it by flesh? Is it by the works of the law? Or is it by hearing of the faith? It always comes back to faith. It always comes down to faith. No good thing is in the flesh. Isaiah says even our righteousness is like filthy rags. But so many people out there say, oh, you're saved by grace. You're saved by the death, burial, and resurrection. That's where you gain your salvation. But if you don't do this, you miss out. You have to earn His grace. You have to earn His favor. You have to be baptized. You have to earn your salvation. So many people time and time again say, oh, you got to add to it. You got to do this. I heard a story the other day about a guy struggling to understand eternal security. So he went to his pastor and said, I'm doubting my salvation. I don't believe it. I'm confused. And the pastor said, are you tithing? And the guy said, no. Well, that's why you're struggling with it. That is the worst answer you can possibly give. It's because we don't understand the Word of God. We don't understand what the Word of God does for us. We are sealed until the day of redemption. It has nothing to do with what we do, give, or say. It has to do with what He did and gave His life for us. The world wants to bring peace and salvation because of things we do. Look at me, look at me, look at me. But the minute you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. We are already seated in the heavenlies. We're already forgiven. We are already received all spiritual blessings. We talked about a little bit in Sunday school today. Do we receive blessings because of what we do? No, we've received all the blessings we can possibly have. We've received everything that we can possibly have. It goes back to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live for Him because of the love that He had for us. We live for Him because of what He has done for us. We give. We stretch ourselves. We do the uncomfortable. Because of what he has done for us. Not because we think we're going to get zapped. Not because we're going to get smashed like a bug. Not because, oh, I'm going to get punished for this. I said this morning in Sunday school, if you believe in God's sovereign will, whatever struggle you're going through, whatever he's putting you through, whatever fire he's dragging you through, you should say, I can't wait till I come out on the other side. It's going to be miraculous. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be, he's building you, he's building your character for something. So many of the world believe that if we perform, God will bless us. And that's where we're losing people to the faith, because that's not the way it works. You've already been blessed. It's already complete. It's already done. Like I said earlier, everybody has been forgiven. Sins were taken to the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. It's complete. It's done. It's solved. You've already been blessed. You are blessed. Now do. That's the way I see it. Verse 4 and 5 says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministereth to you the Spirit, and he worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you. I believe it's talking about the Lord. The Lord performed miracles. The Lord was here in spirit. The Lord has done everything for you. Again, it goes back, did he do it by the works of the law, or was it by the hearing of faith? We'll dive a lot more into 6, 7, and 8 next week, but even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live. I'm not a big fan of other versions of I love my King James, and I love what it says. And I'm going to read a different version just to show you verse 1 through 5, just to give it another context for you. Like I said, my favorite is the King James. I read out of the King James. I like it. But this is a different version just to see what, sometimes we can see things differently. But it begins with, you crazy Galatians. Did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue in this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God and just so many things that can come alive here. I just pray that none of us here are foolish, that we don't go back to the law, we don't go back to legalism, we don't go back again to whatever it is, but your Son went to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins upon that cross. It says you reconciled the world unto yourself. That part's complete. We went through the Romans Road a couple weeks ago, and again, we are all sinners. We know that we've messed up. We know that we can't meet the mark. You went to the cross. All we have to know is that we're a sinner. You went to the cross of Calvary, that we have eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to say, yes, Lord, I believe it. Faith is taking God at his word and saying, yes, I believe what you have written. I believe what you have done. I believe it's all because of you and none of me. We just thank you for the book of Galatians and what you have taught us, what you have written to us. We just thank you for all that you bring to us, Lord, and we pray in your precious Son's name.